Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am pretty excited, actually. I have a whole heck of a lot of stuff going on with me right now. Sweet. I'm really super excited to talk about, but what's going on with you, dude? Why are you so excited?
It's the Gamers Inn, of course.
Oh, okay.
And you know, Mario
I was like,
Maker
I know
and...
why I'm excited, but
no, I don't have any like surprise announcements. I'm just today was a good day and played a lot of cool games. I was just playing Mario Maker but nothing to announce. So everybody, calm down. You know. Oh well, Ashley's pregnant still, so I suppose we can
that's good.
Announce that. But I don't want to talk about my life because you know that would be boring. That's not video games, right?
That's true.
I'm kidding. What's up?
I do have something to talk about. Actually, two things that are both video game related. So first of all, if you guys have been following me in the last like kind of month or so, I've been talking about it on stream, kind of hinting at it here and there. I have made the decision to quit my day job. It's still not happening for a couple months, but it is happening. And so part of that process is I started a Patreon. I am so excited and scared all at the same time. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's the best decision I've ever made. You can go to patreon.com/JossPlays and help support all of my solo content. So this is like stuff like the game stream, some kind of like Let's Play kind of videos, all that kind of stuff. And hopefully some solo podcast type content. Yeah. Again, this is all my solo stuff. It has nothing to do with Angry Chicken, nothing to do with Gamers Inn. This is just like solo Joss video game, super awesome content. I'm excited and scared and all of those things. So yeah, if you want to help me out and support my move from, you know, like steady employment to video game streamer and commentator, then that's pretty much the best way to do it.
I mean, guys, come on. Like, we need to get this going because Loremaster has been this, like, it's like that. It's been stuck in development hell. It needs to come out. It needs to rise from its grave. And we need to see what that... I don't even think I saw, like, the beta, you know, stones that you had arranged, because I know you did a bunch of work on it, right?
I built a website. That website is still sitting there. I bought the domain. I was looking. I literally bought the domain 3 years ago. I was like, wow.
So is there a milestone to pay for your domain fees that have been like collecting?
Yeah, really. No, that's all on me. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, and I don't want to get too much into what the Lore Master is or anything like that, but if you love video games and you love lore, and realistically, what are you doing here if you don't love video games? Then I really think you guys will love the Lore Master. So yeah, head on over patreon.com/JossPlays if you'd like to help me out. There's a lot of really cool rewards, too. I mean, you'll get to play with me on stream. If we hit the first goal, which I think is $100 a week, then you get 5 days of Jocelyn streaming 100% guaranteed. So, oh my God, Barbara in the chat room is apparently now a patron. You are my favorite.
Perfect.
And then, yeah, there's playing with me on stream. There's directing the content, so telling me what to play, telling me what videos you want to see, Hearthstone deck guides, all that kind of stuff. And then there's a super awesome producer credit, but that's like for crazy people.
Cool. But. No, I think it's the right move. We were discussing it off air about like what to do. And I think a Patreon is just this wonderful tool that you can use, and whether or not you're getting, $5 a month, $10 a month, or, you know, to the extreme of getting $100 a week where you're going to be able to stream full time. All of that money goes back into literally what you're doing. So whether you're hitting your milestones or you're not, like every little bit helps. And I think
exactly
it's just an awesome service to allow your fans to like give back, because like one-time donations are interesting, but they're not like, you know, it's
the
like
thing is
gambling. It's not fun.
Exactly. With Patreon, it allows me to kind of gauge how successful this is going to be. I mean, one-time donations is great, but I need something a little bit more steady. I guess, like something I can kind of rely on and say like, okay, this is how this is working, you know, like it's working or it's not, like I need to go back to actual work. So it just, Patreon makes it a lot more measurable and a lot more steady, and where this is no longer going to be a part-time gig for me, where this is going to be my sole source of income, I feel like Patreon is the right move to make right now. So if you guys just want to do one-time donations, I'll still have the donation link active on my stream, but Patreon is definitely going to be my focus, because like I said, like Patreon is actually tied to like what content and how much content I'm going to make and put out. So obviously, if you want to support me, then funneling it towards more content is the best way to do that. So again, patreon.com/JossPlays. Also this week, I, first of all, will not be on Angry Chicken this week because I am traveling, but I will be on Well Met Podcast, which is BlizzPro's Hearthstone podcast. So you will still get Jocelyn's view on Hearthstone this week. It just unfortunately won't be on Angry Chicken because I will literally be on an airplane. But yeah, so Well Met, that is Sunday night. They do record live. I'm not 100% sure what the Twitch channel is, so I will have to get that information for you guys, but that's Well Met. I think they're at Well Met Podcast on Twitter. And yeah, so check that out because I'm really excited to go on with them. They are really awesome couple guys, and looking forward to just talking some Hearthstone, which is pretty much the only thing I've been playing. We just had the end, obviously, of the August season and the start of the September season. I played probably like 15 games yesterday on day one of the season and ended up exactly where my bonus stars left me off. So I didn't go up or down. And I was just like, damn it, ladder. Day one is just a bad, bad, bad time to be on ladder. So
yeah, it's still settling, right? So you're still trying to sort that business out. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it works out.
This actually, you hit level like what, like 19 or 18?
I did hit 19, but okay. I didn't get any farther because we were doing quests, right? So I'd start to get good with one class and it's like, oh no, I have a quest to do like rogue, so I'll do that, and I'd lose a couple before gaining a couple. So I'm not at that point where I'm really good with every class where I can continue to climb while doing quests. But
very few people are good with every class. Each class in Hearthstone is really different. So there's a lot of people who have one or two classes they're really, really strong with, and the rest they struggle. Like for me, I can't priest or warrior or rogue. Like right. I can't. Like I'm trying to learn, but for whatever reason, those classes just don't click with me. Yeah. But like mage, love hunter, love shaman. Love Druid. Druid is really strong for me. But yeah, for whatever reason, like especially Rogue. Man, can't wrap my head around that combo crap.
Yeah. I don't mind the combo stuff, but
yeah. So this was everyone's first season with rewards. Mm-hmm. So what did you get in your level 19 reward chest? Have you opened it yet?
I don't know if I opened it yet. It's only I've been really busy. I know. It's funny. I've had a lot of people, not a lot, maybe one or two, but that's a lot. That's more than zero. People ask me, when's the next episode of Ryan Wrecked Rank? And I'm like, I don't know. It depends when I get back into the game because I've been so busy with other games. But I need to log in. I could do it right now. I mean, like, why not, right? While we're doing it, I'll just queue it up here. I've now moved Hearthstone to my homepage. That's got to mean something, right? Oh,
totally means something.
That means I'm addicted. I've been playing a lot on the phone, by the way, and I really don't mind the phone, but I think...
Which phone do you have?
I have the 5.
I've been playing on my 6, and I love it. Yeah. I played sometimes on the 5, but the 6 is like just the perfect size screen, I feel like, for mobile. I don't make nearly as many mistakes as I did before.
I'm kind of at the point where, like, when we were talking Hearthstone at Nerdtacular, and I kind of saw Terpster's phone and what he plays on, I was leaning towards the 6 Plus, but now that I've played a lot on the iPhone and I've seen these bigger phones, I don't make a lot of phone calls, and when I do it with the headphones, so I'm never, like, holding a sandwich gigantic to my head.
Phone. Yeah.
So I might go with the 6 Plus just strictly for the Hearthstoning.
I have the 6, so when I see you on the weekend, then I'll let you poke around with my phone. But the 6 Plus still seems too big for me, but...
You know what? For someone who uses their phone a lot just, like, at the desk... I think it would be really good for me, but I need to go in and play around with it. And it's funny we're talking about iPhones right now, considering they're going to be launching a new iPhone or announcing a new iPhone next week. So we could even like talk about, oh, I got a gold. What is this? See, this is the problem with the iPhone. I got to like really get in there. Oh, that's an email. Totem Golem gold overload. Ooh. Okay. Ooh, 10 dust. And, well, the card back, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know.
Maybe. No, that's good. So I got the level 9 chest, and mm-hmm. Blizzard totally trolled me because the very first reward that I opened was a golden version of Eye for an Eye.
Nice.
I'm just like, really? Really? You can literally get a golden version of any card in the game, and the first one I open is Eye for an Eye. So I ended up with 3 gold cards. I got Eye for an Eye and a couple of other one from the Grand Tournament, but I can't remember which card it was. Definitely one that I wasn't thinking of using. Right. And one from, I remember, the vanilla set, but I can't remember what it was. Basically, I got Eye for an Eye, and I just went crazy. I was like, what? I don't even remember anything else, because that just sticks in my head as the most random, like, they must have flagged my account or something kind of thing. And then, obviously, I got some dust, and I got the card back. So, I like the new ranked rewards. It does make you want to kind of grind ladder a little bit more. I'm going to play a whole lot more this weekend, I'm sure. Hopefully you can play on the flight, cross your fingers for Wi-Fi. but other than Hearthstone, I've really only been playing Rocket League. I've been playing Rocket League everywhere, and I was getting really, really frustrated with just my whole entire Rocket League experience because I wasn't doing that well. I wasn't really winning all that many games. When I did play with Matt, he was just so much better than me. And I was
You're playing on the same team though, right? So you're winning.
No, I know, but I was just like, he would have like 1,200 points and I would have like 150. And I'd just be like, damn it. Like, talk about a carry. So I just, I was getting really, really frustrated. And then at first I thought like, okay, maybe it's just because Matt's touching the ball all the time because he's super, super good. And then at the same time, I was just like, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to play by myself just with random other people and see what happens. And, like, the same thing happened. I'm like, okay, so it's not Matt. It's not him. I'm just clearly not getting up in the air enough or whatever. And I played with him again a couple nights ago. And he was just so good. And I was like, oh, I hate this so much. And then I looked at my stats, and I had something like me and everyone on my friends list. I was, I think, number 4 on my friends list on Steam for number of, like, wins. I think I had 60-something, the person above me had 70, someone had 100, and then Matt had, like, 600 wins. And I was like, okay, so the amount of time he's put into the game is literally 10 times as much as I have.
Are you surprised? Sometimes I accuse him of just keeping the game up and leaving his, because I...
Well, but that's the thing. These are wins. This isn't, like, hours. This is, games he has won.
Yeah, you can't fake
10
that.
Times more. Yeah, you can't fake that.
No.
And that's only on one system, because he's played on his PS4, mm-hmm. my PS4, and his PC. So he's played that kind of games all over, like, 3 different systems. It just, the amount of time he's put into Rocket League is crazy. So I feel less bad about myself now, and I'm just trying to play more and more to try to get better. But, that game is addictive. Is
you're canceling all your plans this weekend and
just playing Rocket League.
Perfect.
I'm just going to make him watch. I'm not going to let him play.
Right. That works. I mean, like, that he can be your, like, Mr. Miyagi, right? He can tell you, you've got to... I don't know. I don't know what Miyagi would say about Rocket League.
Learn to fly.
Learn to fly, but don't stick on walls. What? What are you saying, man?
There you go. So you've actually had a chance. Like, I mean, I'm just repeating all of my super quick to play games.
Right.
You've had a chance to actually get your hands in 2 really, really cool titles this week. So the first one is one that I'm really interested in both, but I can't actually play the second one. So we're going to talk about Until Dawn first.
Sure.
Because I'm so into this game. Like, I was a little bit hesitant at first because it's a horror title. And if you guys have watched my Five Nights at Freddy's video, you know I don't do so well with horror. But this feels much more like a choose-your-own-adventure, Life is Strange kind of an experience. And I think we meant to talk about Until Dawn. I don't think we actually did on our Life is Strange episode. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of the evolution of this whole genre of, you know, choose your own adventure, tell your own story kind of thing, except for it seems to have thousands and thousands and thousands of possible endings, which is really, really cool. And it's all driven by your player choice. So How far into Until Dawn are you right now?
I'm about three chapters in, and the goal is to beat it before next week's episode, mainly because we are going to do the pass off, which will be a lot of fun. This is a title we're gonna share, and we'll probably have a spoiler cast at some point, but more Until Dawn conversations for the future. Three chapters in, you're introduced to all the characters. There's eight main characters. They're all like teenagers ripped straight out of like a slasher film.
I was gonna say it is very, very tropey, which I kind of love because
it's great.
My favorite movie ever in that genre is Cabin in the Woods, which is so tropey and basically just spends the whole entire time like essentially poking fun of itself and the genre while being a fantastic movie in and of itself. So
yeah,
I love it. I love the tropey horror.
It's got that feel. And as soon as you realize that the game is going to be like that and just lean in, it shouldn't bother you. It might bother those who are turned off by that sort of like that shtick, but I really enjoyed it. And from what I've played, it sets it up. It gives you your sort of it starts really quickly. So, I mean, if you watch the video that we put together, I played with friends because I don't like horror games either. so I had friends on the couch and we played together. And funny enough, the first little bit that we played really wasn't that scary. I actually played a little more the other day. Played it till about midnight with the headphones on, and the game does.
Oh my god! You know, I don't.
It gets pretty spooky. There's some jump scares that they start introducing in the two chapters in when they start to establish that shit's going down at this sort of mountain cottage. But I don't want to spoil any story, but I will talk about like mechanics because we'll spoil story like.
I've had a chance to actually play it.
Exactly. And I'm really looking forward. I've had a few people kind of tweet at me and say like, oh, you know, I can't wait till you finish it and we can talk about it. And because a lot of people have had different experiences and who dies and who lives and the choices you make.
Well, and that's the thing, at least from what I've read, is that literally any character can die and any character can live, which is so interesting. I can see how they have so many different endings because you could literally either have the whole entire cast survive or the whole entire cast die. And like, what happens if every single person dies? Is it just like, oh, the killer wins?
We joked like as a choose your own as an adventure game where you can make choices. We were joking in our playthrough like you get to a point where you push X to get on a tram car to go up the mountain, and there someone said like, wouldn't it be funny if you could just not go up the mountain and just turn away? It's like, you game over. You all go home and survive.
You know, you have a boring weekend playing video games. Congratulations.
It's nothing like that. I mean, it is. The other thing too is I think reviewers do games like this a disservice by saying there are thousands of endings. It's like there's probably five or six. I mean, it's a diamond, right? It starts out like at a fine point and then works its way out. I just don't want to have the Mass Effect 3 conversation again. You know, which color did you choose?
Right.
Come on, guys. It's gonna be a diamond. I have not finished it, so I can't say for sure. And I don't want to research it because I don't want to spoil it. But I'm sure it's a diamond where it comes out like this, and certain things will happen on the outside that certainly will affect the ending. But at the end, they still have to kind of bring it and narrow it down, or else that game wouldn't exist. There's too many options. But I find that when compared to other adventure games like Life is Strange and the Telltale series, where so-and-so will remember this, it does that really well, whereas it presents you with a choice of reacting to somebody's conversation. Let's say there was a changeover in that certain people in the group broke up, and then other people in the group then hooked up with that person. There was basically like a swap of teenage partnerships.
Teenage love drama. Yeah.
So a year later, when they go back up this mountain, and there's this friction, right? Where you can choose to be the alpha male who like goes after the other guy because he's looking at your woman, and or you can play it cool and it's like it's all right, you got you, blah blah blah, and everyone's happy, and that affects how your characters sort of interact. And you get the little message saying like, oh, status update. And what you can do is you can open up your menu and actually look at character relationships for the character you're actually controlling.
Oh, so, cool. Yeah, because right, you really can jump between characters, right? Did you mention that?
No, I did. You can kind of, you don't jump between, but the chapters really do shuffle you around a lot.
Oh, okay. Because that was something I was a little bit confused about, because generally you have like a main kind of character. Like you are the wolf in The Wolf Among Us. Like you are I can't even remember the kid who's supposed to be a Stark, but not a Stark. But, you know, like you're specifically controlling a person in every other adventure title. Like you're, I can't remember Life is Strange, what her name is.
Max.
Like you're specifically controlling that character all through the adventure. So then the idea that anyone can die, I'm like, well, what happens if I'm controlling my character and all of a sudden I die? Do I jump to somebody else? Like, how does that actually work? So if your character dies, does that chapter just end? Like, do you not see any more stories? Is there a big, I guess, have you had anybody die yet?
I haven't had anybody die yet, but...
Well, then why am I asking you?
I have had someone...
You're useless.
Well, I haven't got far enough yet, and I don't really want to talk about people dying. There is a cool thing, a cool mechanic
where you...
Well,
that's the thing. I don't even think it could be a spoiler, because you know it's a horror game. You know anyone can live and anyone can die, so... Yeah.
Well, I will say this, then. I did successfully woo my woman... And and this is the game we're talking about. I mean, we all know in real life, that worked out. But in the game, I successfully wooed my woman, and we were, you know, everyone was comfortable. We weren't worried about what was outside, even though we were just chased by a bear spirit or whatever we ended up calling it. It's like, oh, honey, it's fine. Someone threw your cell phone through the window. It's not a big deal. It was the bear. Let's go back to the couch. And of course, once things start going, there's a knock at the door and something bad happens to my my lover, I suppose we'll call her. I don't know. We just met. But it's one of those, it's a total trope horror game, and I love it. And it's spooky. If you know what it feels like, and this is kind of sad considering, you know, Wes Craven just passed away, but it feels a lot like Nightmare on Elm Street, where the jump scares are these twisted things that are happening where you're not expecting it, and when you are expecting it, it's not a jump scare, it's just a bird or a squirrel,
right.
I'm three chapters in and they're playing a lot with the jump scare, and I'm kind of worried that they're gonna just...
I hate jump scares so much.
Yeah, I'm worried.
I feel like this is gonna be a really good game for me to stream, because I feel like it's gonna have enough kind of like substance. Mm-hmm. Unlike Five Nights at Freddy's, where it's just literally like made to just jump scare you, whether it's like finding the robots on the cameras or having them kill you in the little office thing there. Yeah. Basically, it's made for jump scares.
Well,
there's no story behind it whatsoever.
Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Or I shouldn't say there's no story. There's a teeny tiny little ounce of story, but
there is story. It's called Go Subscribe to Game Theorists on YouTube and Never Play That Game series. That's the story, basically. Because, and I, you know, I apologize to those that enjoy it and the guy who actually made the game, but that's just my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. But it's not a scream factory. You're not going in there for the sole purpose of being scared. You're going in there to experience a story, make choices, and try to get your characters to survive this teen slasher inspired story, you know? And it'd be great for streaming, because when I played with Katie and Connor, they were just sort of playing with me. And every time a choice came up, like a dialogue choice, it'd be like, do you call her, I mean, it's teen horror. So, and sometimes you play as girls and you can get in a cat fight. It's like, do you call her the B word or do you like try to back off? Like, and obviously everyone's like, call her the B word. And that didn't work out very well, but, it's just really cool. And you get the stream to interact with you that way. And there are options. As far as I know, I haven't come across any like timed decisions except for quick time events.
Okay.
But so, you know, in the trailer, they kind of show like, do you hide under the bed or do you hide in the closet? And that could be an interesting compromise to be like, okay, chat room, like, where do you think the killer is going to not find me?
Yeah.
But
I feel like in that case, I would go under the bed because under the bed, you can get out of a whole lot easier than the closet. It's a little bit more exposed, but I would take the ability to escape over a better hiding spot.
Yes, I agree. The bed, the only problem with the bed is that they can pull the Jason move where he walks around slowly as if like, oh, I don't know where they are, and then stab through the mattress. Like that is a trope that happens. And I mean, like, if you're going to have sex in a horror film, I mean, you kind of had it coming. That was even on purpose. Anyways, this did you just get that?
I did. I didn't get it at first. I was like, what wasn't on purpose?
This is a mature game. It's rated, I think it's rated M. I mean, there are deaths and there are some pretty gruesome deaths, actually, in the beginning that set the story up. And
I'm sure it's got to be a mature title.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's probably one of my favorite adventure games I've ever played. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but I've gotten used to the characters. I've gotten used to some of the dialogue is a little forced. Some of the VO is a little subpar, but they killed that character off anyways, so it was fine. but it's just, it's a lot of fun. And I highly recommend people who have a PS4 to check this game out. It's probably not going to be on your radar because it's not your Call of Duties. It's not your Halos. It's not your Uncharted collection.
And it got delayed a lot too. So
yes, this is originally a PS3 Move game. And it's sort of been delayed and delayed. And finally they put it out on PS4. And you can choose between motion controls and traditional. Of course, I chose traditional. And it's got Hayden Penitentiary or whatever her last name is.
Save the Cheerleader?
Yes. Yep. She's in it. It's got Peter Stormare, who I didn't know who he was until I saw his face, and you'd be like, that guy. He plays a super creepy dude, and he's amazing. And I don't know if you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I swear that one of the main dudes is, one of the agents from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I can't remember his name. Ward. Agent Ward.
Oh, I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's really cool, and there's some cheesiness to it, but it's based on a teen slash horror movie, so
expect the cheese and you'll have fun.
Yeah, get the crackers out and you'll be fine. That's a terrible analogy.
Oh, man. So the other game that you have, you actually have ahead of time. So yes. Nintendo finally acknowledged your fanboyness and gave you a review copy.
I requested very nicely and was surprised to receive. I did it with Splatoon. So, you know, we sort of formed that PR bond, as you do. And Super Mario Maker came to me in the mail and I was like, yay. And I booted it up, and the embargo ended today, so the review has been posted. And, I mean, I've gotten so good at this, I'll just put the link in the chat room for those who haven't read
it. Nicely done.
Yeah, I mean, there's some video content in there, so you can kind of get a bird's eye view. A few people on YouTube weren't a big fan of the fact that my Amiibo video was only 4 minutes, and it was just me fooling around poorly with Link and Marth costumes, but... it was kind of funny. It was like late. Cut me some slack, folks. But
now I have to go watch that video. Jeez, I'm missing out.
Oh, it's really a great video for those who just want to see the functionality. But a lot of, like, the internet culture is like, I want to know everything in this game before it comes out. So I kind of assumed that the people who are you know, not like overly disliking it, but for those that don't like it are probably like, why isn't this like the hundreds of costumes that I can unlock? Why are you just showing me what you're allowed to show me? You know, ruin your relationships, man, for us, the Reddits. No, I'm not going to do that. But the game is, it's so good. It's so good. And you get to, and we're gonna actually play around with it tomorrow on game night. We're gonna build a level.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Because, I mean, this is one of the titles, and they're starting to stack up. Titles that would make me buy a Wii U, and I'm still holding out for Super Awesome Zelda, obviously, but Super Mario Maker just seems like one of those things that it's a totally new experience, but it's built in that comfortable Nintendo space, you know, like, it's Mario, it feels like Mario, there's nostalgia there, and at the same time you get to do cool new stuff.
Yeah, it's the thing is about it, you boot it up and you start to play, you open up the make section of it to build your levels, and you're presented with a basically what would look like graph paper. It's all lined out. You've got a start and you've got an end point, which is your castle and your flagpole, and your start is just like an arrow pointing that way. And you're presented with these tools. You can, you know, create your level in Super Mario Brother Land, or you can create it in New Super Mario Brothers. Basically the bookends of the Mario look. And you just go from there. You place some Koopas, you place some Goombas, some blocks, you put a mushroom in the block, and you've create this very basic level. And then you have to wait a day, and that's been a lot of the people's concerns, is that like you don't unlock all the tools right from the get-go.
That was the only thing that kind of made me go, oh, really? Especially when like you got your review copy 5 days before the embargo.
Yeah.
And you can't unlock your content. Like, there's 9 days worth of content to unlock, which means that they're basically locking you out of being able to review the last 4 days of stuff. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, that doesn't really make any sense there, Nintendo. It's a weird mechanic to start with, and then to kind of make your reviewers stick to those 5 days, it's weird.
Now, I should mention that basically just Canadian press got it later. A lot of American and European press had it way before American press. But the American press, if you read any of the major reviews, they are going to cover everything. But I was surprised. Well, I wasn't surprised, but it would have been nice to see, and I mentioned this in the review, like a Konami code or a Nintendo code that just unlocks all the tools for those who don't want that catered experience. Mm-hmm. And I do want that catered experience because I don't want to be overwhelmed. I want to just go in, build a level, jump out and come back the next day and add a couple pipes and some moving platforms. Right now I'm at the point where I've unlocked all, and for tomorrow I've unlocked all the environments, all the themes, and probably 2/3 of the tools. So we can build pretty solid level. Nice. and spend some time. So that'll be a lot of fun.
But yeah, that's, I can't really wait. Just half, I mean, the game. Yeah, it's gonna be like you and I in the chat room, and oh man, we're gonna make so much Mario. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. And the one thing that I was really happy to see, and what we always worry about with Nintendo, is how's the online? Because the other half of this game is playing those Mario levels, and the online works beautifully. Just works. You go to the file browser, you pick a level, you hit play, it loads immediately, and you're off to the races. I mean, it's all just ones and zeros. They're not like pushing graphics to you. It's just probably like a variable sheet, because it's all like square based, right? It's all size, so it's pretty quick, and it's just a lot of fun to play some of these creations. Sometimes it's a pain in the ass to play these creations because people have created these like incredibly difficult levels, and we can look at those a bit tomorrow as well, but I just, it's a lot of fun, and we're probably going
to
talk
about it. But
it's
really, the really cool thing, though, is that even though they've created super hard levels, they have to beat them before they can post them up for everyone else to play, right? So,
yes.
And actually, that might be even more frustrating if you know, like, okay, this level is actually beatable, but I can't seem to make this one stupid jump.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to give up. I mean, if you're playing probably one of my favorite modes, which is 100 Mario Challenge, where you're given 100 lives to play randomly selected user-generated levels, you're going to spend like 30 lives trying to get just that pattern correctly. And that's what I was finding. I was finding myself like, oh, I finally nailed it, but 40 lives in the drain. Ah, no. But it's just a lot of fun to go through and have that challenge, as opposed to just, I'm going to play this level and do it till I beat it. At least with the 100 Mario Challenge, you've got some sort of counter counting you down as to like you succeeding or failing. And it even pulls like a random castle level for the last level in the challenge. So you're always facing Bowser at the end, which is really cool that they had that touch. And it feels like they took those four Mario games and put them in one game for you to play. And it's an infinite amount of levels. Just think about that. Like, you're gonna play Super Mario Brothers, and it's like, this feels like Super Mario Brothers, but I don't remember hitting a block, a Goomba popping out, and then I'm losing my mushroom because some asshat put a Goomba in a block.
In a block.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's super cool.
I'm looking forward to seeing it and, yeah, poking around with it a little bit. So
yeah, and we can, you know, we can poke it and prod it, and if people have questions in the chat room, we can play around and see what we come across. There are still some embargo stuff before launch, but I don't.
So when is the actual launch date?
The launch date is the 11th of September.
Okay.
Which I believe they said they chose because it was as close to the original launch date of Super Mario Brothers 3, which was, I think, was September 13th. So for those who are reacting to that date, that's why. But it's coming out next Friday, we'll say. And not this Friday, but nah. Anyways, next Friday. It's a lot of fun. And if you have a Wii U, it's kind of a no-brainer. But if you don't have a Wii U, like you said, it's another one of those games you put on the list, and I just think if Nintendo had a price cut, everybody would just jump at it.
Yeah, Barbara in the chat room is asking if it's Wii U only or does it work on a regular Wii. But you, when you're designing the levels, it's pretty gamepad intensive, right? Which would be strictly Wii U.
Yeah, it is. It is Wii U only. It's a Wii U exclusive. Nintendo, I mean, they've stopped making games for the Wii for quite a while now. And but that being said, I always get this a lot whenever a game launches, like, oh, do I have to use the gamepad? And it's like, no, you don't. You can design a level with the D-pad and try that, but it's a pain. If you're using the gamepad and dragging and dropping and fiddling that way, it works a lot better. And then you can set the gamepad down and pick up your Pro Controller, hit a button, and it switches instantly. So you're not, and I've been playing a lot with the Pro Controller. I really like it. So you're not married to that Wii U gamepad. You can kind of just use it when it makes sense. And I think this is really the first time Nintendo's made a game where it's like, I don't hate every time I use the gamepad. This actually really, I can't see any other way of doing this and having it be fun, you know? It's really cool. I really think anybody who is thinking of checking this out, you should go pre-order it because it's so much fun. You're going to love it.
I can't wait to play with it tomorrow. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to take a second here and thank our patron of the week. You can go to patreon.com/thegamersin if you would like to support the show. Our patron of the week this week is James. So thank you so much, James, for supporting the show. It means a lot to us. And that brings us into our topic of the week this week. So we are talking, and this comes to us from Val. She was on our episode a few weeks ago talking about Life is Strange. She's been a fan forever. She sent this in. She says, how do you feel about the Deus Ex Mankind? See, I can't even get through it without laughing. Mankind Divided pre-order tiers that were announced. Because this idea is so ridiculous.
Oh, I thought you were just saying it too fast and saying...
No. I'm saying, like, I can't even get through this idea without laughing because it's idiotic. Like, okay. I literally, when Ryan sent me a link to the YouTube video, my response was just WTF. And he's like, oh, is the link not working? I'm like, no, the link worked fine. I mean, WTF in terms of what the F are they thinking with, and I think Polygon put it best in their article, putting Kickstarter in my pre-order.
Yeah, it's weird. It's certainly weird. For those who don't know, Deus Ex Mankind Divided is the sequel to Deus Ex Human Revolution that came out a few years ago in the summer, I believe. And this is their big follow-up. And I'm actually looking forward to it. I wasn't planning on pre-ordering, but this is pretty... I mean, it's not... It's gross, but then again, it's smart.
Well, okay.
But it's gross.
I was really excited about it when I saw, like, basically choose your own reward, I think is really cool. Because then they say, like, you know, there's these different groupings of items. They're calling them tiers. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I can get on board with that. You can choose, like, do you want and I think at one point there was, like, a novel or a comic book and stuff like that. It's like, well, I don't really care for comic books. I'd rather have a novel or, you know, like just that kind of choice, I think is a really interesting idea. The part that made me throw up in my mouth a little was when they started talking about like, you only unlock tiers when a certain number of pre-orders have happened. Like, I really hope they get zero pre-orders for this game. Like, I want them, I want everyone to send a message, because pre-order numbers are going to be so, I guess, visible with this game. Like, normally, it's just a number they throw out just before the game kind of launches, and they say, oh, we had X number of million pre-orders. Yeah. But with this game, like, it literally says, like, there's, you know, tier one is unlocked, and then how much more until tier two, and then tier two unlocks and everything else. And so I feel like what I want people to do is not touch this with a 10-foot pole, because they've said, basically, you get your tier one grouping of items, and then when enough people have pre-ordered, you get tier two. It's, no, screw you. I don't like pre-orders anyway. Like, oh my god, it's like they're taking it to the next level of assholeness.
It is odd, right? You get to the point where you're looking at it and you're thinking, I mean, you should reward folks who do pre-order, but you shouldn't encourage people to pre-order in a way that
locks people out of content.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm all for pre-order, not exclusives, but pre-order bonuses, where if you look at Star Wars Battlefront, if you pre-order, you get early and free access to DLC a week early that's just solely this piece of content. It's tied into the episode 7, but it's still this nice little nugget that you get for pre-ordering. And if you really like Star Wars, you're happy to pre-order. So I'm cool with that. But with this, it's tiers, and unlocking the game 4 days early is also kind of a... I think really, like, if you're offering that as a reward, I think anybody who backs it should get it 4 days early.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't even lock that. That's the grossest part to me, and I think really the laugh out loud moment, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to not get too ranty here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just, there's so much about this that just makes me unhappy. And the thing is, you can get all of the items in the collector's edition, but it's $90 more expensive than the $60 pre-order. So you can, for $60, have the chance, aren't we lucky, we have the chance to unlock some of these options, or you can pay $90 and get all of this stuff. And even then, I don't know if the collector's edition, the $90 thing, gives you the 4 days early or not. I don't think it does. I think that the 4 days early is just strictly if they get enough pre-orders. So basically, they're saying, because you can choose, like, the tier one is like one of three, what they call them, loadouts. I don't know. Basically, it looks to me like a skin for your character, but maybe it's different guns or whatever. I imagine they're all balanced the same, but look different. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then level two is, I think, the art or the comic versus the novel. Level three is DLC, is actual, like, another mission in the game. Yeah. Then there's level four, which I can't remember what that one was.
I think that's, I'm just going to pull it up.
Or here. Was that the novel versus comic book? I think I got level two wrong. Anyways, you've basically got a skin for your main dude. You've got a novel. You've got another level or another mission. One other thing, and 4 days early. They're saying all of that content is worth $90? Are you high?
Wait a minute. You can purchase... Wait a minute.
You can purchase all of the rewards are included in the collector's edition. So if you want to throw down $150, you can get the rewards whether they're unlocked or not.
Huh. Okay, but you're getting other stuff. You're getting a limited, you're getting an art book and a figure.
Ah, okay. So
you're not paying $90. You're getting, and now the extra stuff, are you getting all of it, even the choice stuff? Because you actually have to choose. You have to pick your reward. So
yeah, you do have to pick. Oh, tier two is a digital art book. Thanks, Leo.
Yeah, digital art book or digital sampler. Soundtrack.
Yeah, see, this is the thing too. It's not even a full soundtrack. It's a sampler. Like, I just,
that would be the big piss off for me as someone who loves video game music. So that's a big pain in the butt. I mean, whatever. Kudos to Square Enix for trying something new, but you'd think...
No, no kudos, Ryan. Damn it.
I'm just saying, trying something new, but, you know, you gotta take your licks, right? Like, if you do something like this, you gotta kind of assume that there's going to be flack. And a lot of people had issues with this. We have an issue with it. I don't think either of us were planning on pre-ordering the game.
And I still won't.
No, I won't either. It feels very slimy in the sense that it feels like you're getting less reward for pre-ordering because you're not guaranteed anything. You're not guaranteed anything till they hit that goal of 100%.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to pick until the very end. And I really do think that when you pre-order something, a company, I know it's a choice, but a company should reward you for pre-ordering.
Yeah.
I think when you give them your $70...
way ahead of time.
You should be guaranteed... You should be given something for that because you're putting money in their pockets. And we're not at the point where you're reserving something. Like, these aren't amiibos. These are digital bits and bytes that you're reserving on the eShop. And Nintendo is... I can't even remember. It's been a while, but... I think with Nintendo's eShop, you are paying full price and charged for it, and then you just have it. You can preload it. That's the big thing. You can preload it and be ready to go at midnight, which is a big deal considering Nintendo's network is so slow. But
I don't know. The only time that I've pre-ordered stuff is when I thought, like, I wanted the collector's edition. Like, I got the ESO collector's edition. I pre-ordered that because I wanted to make sure that I actually got the collector's edition because I live in Halifax and we get like one copy of stuff. So me getting the collector's edition of that game was really important to me. I've been playing the Elder Scrolls series since like Morrowind came out. Like I love that universe and I wanted that collector's edition. So I pre-ordered. I pre-ordered the Link Between Worlds because, again, I wanted the one that came with the 3DS that was the special edition version. So basically, like, I pre-order when it's special edition, collector's edition type stuff. Or if there's some, like, super awesome crazy bonus, like I pre-ordered Warlords of Draenor because I got my boost to 90 right away. So I wanted to play with another max level character. I wanted to raid with my priest in Mists of Pandaria. So in order to unlock that boost, I pre-ordered. Yeah. But I mean, that's huge. That literally saved me like tens of hours of time. Like I don't even know how long it takes to level a character, but I can tell you leveling a healer is like putting needles in your eyeballs. Like, it's terrible. It's like, I'm going to stand here for 10 minutes and try to kill this kobold. Yeah, that's a thing that happened.
Yeah, I pre-ordered. The last thing I feel like I legitimately went out and pre-ordered was my Retro 3-pack amiibo. This physical thing that is will be scarce, exclusive to EB Games. I had to call EB, ask them about it, then drive out there, give them all my money for the thing, and then have the slip that says, yes, on September 25th, I can go buy that. I can go pick it up. And to me, that is pre-ordering. That's what pre-ordering is, because you're getting this scarce item. And with Deus Ex, you're not being rewarded. Now, you'll be rewarded if enough people give Square Enix money, but yeah. I don't... It just seems like such a weird...
And to me, like,
who came up with this and didn't think, this is not going to blow up in our face. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I don't know. But it feels to me as well, like, I don't know, maybe I'm not understanding, like, how big a new mission is in that game. But I feel like the rewards, even if they all get unlocked, they aren't that great anyway. Like, a skin for your character, okay, that's pretty cool. And everyone gets that for sure because it's tier one. It's unlocked even if they get no pre-orders. So everybody gets that. All right, cool. But then, like, part of a soundtrack and a digital something? Ugh, I don't know. It seems like the rewards are really, really small. And I'd be interested to know because they don't actually tell you what the numbers are for what they're looking for. Like, they don't say 50,000 pre-orders unlocks tier 2 and 100,000 pre-orders unlocks tier 3. It's just, like, I think it's percentages, if anything.
Yeah, it says that...
Because I think right now it says, like, 25% of the way to tier 2 or something.
Yeah, which, I mean, This is
I want to know numbers. I don't know.
I you know, knowing numbers would certainly help you gauge how many pre-orders they're looking for, but this could just be a PR stunt to be like, yeah. I don't know, make it 500,000 pre-orders that we know we'll get, so no matter what, we're unlocking this. Because to be able to have a game ready to go 4 days early for everybody to play, that has to be built into your schedule.
Yeah.
You're making sure everything's running smoothly, your day one patch is ready to go. Microsoft knows their servers are going to be hosed when people are downloading their 40 gigabyte day one patch. I think it's already built into this.
And I feel like that's probably the worst part of all of it, because the reason that, you know, Indiegogo and Kickstarter and Patreon, the reason that they work, first of all, they support small creators who need the support and who need the money and who are trying to get projects off the ground, but they're also transparent. You know how many people have backed at what level. You know what the goals are. You know what the current total is. Like, everything is really transparent, and it makes you feel better about backing those projects, because that's essentially what this feels like, is if I give you my money ahead of time, you are going to try to do X. Mm-hmm. But you're not telling me how close you are to X, and that to me just feels slimy, because like you said, this is probably all just built in. Like, they could just say, without giving any pre-order numbers whatsoever, oh, what do you know? We made it to tier 5. You guys are awesome. And they've got like 2 dudes who've pre-ordered. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, and to me, that's just super slimy.
Yeah, I mean, like I saw a tweet go out where people were saying, like, the shitty thing is if this works, everybody's gonna do it, and that's the scary thing. Is that
I know. Oh God, I really hope this doesn't work.
It would be really nice to see them, you know, be like, okay, because that's the other issue. When the internet disagrees with somebody, there isn't a calm conversation like we're having right now where we state our differences and we say, no, I will not pre-order, and that's my choice, and that's my vote in this campaign. A lot of people have been commenting on YouTube with this just vitriolic hate and disliking all the videos. Like, if you don't like it, just state that. Move on. Don't pre-order it, because I really do think that they're getting this feedback is giving them more publicity for their pre-order campaign. And there are going to be people like, go, oh, wow, there's a new Deus Ex game. I'm finding out about it because people are being idiots on the internet, but I am excited, so obviously I'll pre-order. That is a scenario that could very possibly be happening. And again, I'm not defending this. I'm just saying that when people go at this in a negative way to try to get something reversed, that's not normally how things get changed. Most companies will just be like, well, that's the vocal minority, put our head down and just keep working on the game. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a marketing thing. This isn't a developer saying we're going to do this, which with Kickstarter, a lot of it is developers that are saying, let's do a Kickstarter. This is a marketing campaign. And I mean, like every other marketing campaign, let's just ignore it and buy the game in February.
Yeah.
If you're so well,
and
interested.
That's kind of the thing that got a little bit lost in all this. We got a release date, and it's in February 2016. So that's happening, guys.
They'll make their pre-orders. They'll unlock all the tiers. Those who pre-order will get to play it 4 days early. The world is not on fire, everybody. This is shitty, yes.
Are you sure? It feels like it's on fire, Ryan.
You weren't even interested in Deus Ex before this. That's the other thing. You didn't even probably know kind of.
No,
like,
I didn't know there was a new one coming. No.
There's a lot of games out there. You know, you can't know everything. And now everybody's like, there's a sequel to Deus Ex, and it's called Mankind Divided. There's a shitty pre-order campaign, but there's a sequel to Deus Ex.
Yeah. Damn it, I'm talking about it. I'm making it. It's part of the problem. We're of the problem.
We're part of the problem, which it seems to be how we end every segment. It's true.
Oh, man. So we just wanted to take a minute here and remind you of the upcoming TGI event, which is a game night tomorrow night. That is Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. It'll be right here on twitch.tv/JossPlays. You have no idea how difficult it is not to say GIS Gamer. And I just realized we didn't actually update the overlay. So it still says GIS Gamer on the Gamers in Overlay.
Oh,
but I've been struggling so much not to say GIS Gamer on so many places.
You'll get there.
I'll get there eventually. But yeah, so we're going to be playing, like we mentioned earlier, we're going to be playing around with Super Mario Maker level building. And yeah, we want your input. So make sure that you are right here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern for game night. After that, I think we're probably going to be playing something called Duck Game, which Matt again kicked my butt at.
It's not DuckTales, right?
No, it's not DuckTales. Okay. It's literally called Duck Game because I made him tell me that about 10 times. It's literally called Duck Game. So check it out. It's on Steam if you guys want a chance to come in and play with us.
Cool.
So we got some Twitter feedback from Val. Says, hey, Ryan, did you see the trailer for the upcoming Dragon Age Inquisition DLC Trespasser?
I did.
I'm guessing you did. Otherwise, I don't feel like you wouldn't have put it into the notes. So you did see it. I literally almost uninstalled Dragon Age yesterday because I was like, this is taking so much space on my hard drive and I never, ever play it. It's so good.
That game is a BioWare classic, and I take full responsibility, internet, for Jocelyn not playing this game because I made the mistake of saying let's play multiplayer to get you interested in the character, the way the characters move and play. That was a mistake. Yep. I don't even play multiplayer anymore. Now she's got this weird thing in her head that the game's terrible. And that I'm a poor person for making her buy and play this game. It's really good. The multiplayer is just, that was my bad, everybody. BioWare, I'm sorry. You really should boot up the single player and give it like an hour and just trust me. Mm. I'll do something that I don't want to do. And you wait a minute. I started playing Hearthstone and I'm enjoying it. You've been saying for years how good Hearthstone is. We need a Dragon Age YouTube series for you now that you've got the Patreon. Let's unlock it. It'll be called Jocelyn the Inquisitor. I don't know. That's terrible. You guys, chat awful. Room, you do it.
But anyways, you name it, chat room.
DLC.
Tiz in the chat room says the last Dragon Age DLC was kind of meh. So are you excited about this upcoming one? Did you like the last piece of DLC?
So I'll be honest. I've purchased the first piece of DLC. I have not played any of them yet. I stopped playing.
And you're giving me crap.
I beat the game. All right. I played the story. I finished my campaign. My Inquisitor was like, huzzah, let's party. We did it. And we partied. But there was some loose ends to the end of the game. Now, the DLC that's been presented so far has been side stories, little campaigns. And DLC is usually kind of meh in comparison to the overall game where they've spent years crafting this story and connected storyline. I always find DLC, I never have high expectations. And not in a bad way. I mean, you've played a lot of DLC. Like, DLC is, it's extra. It's fluff.
It can be hit and miss.
Yeah.
I think the last time I really enjoyed kind of all the DLC for a game would have been Mass Effect 3 because they introduced like new characters, new planets, new places, new missions. It was integrated really, really well into the game.
Right.
And some of it you could do after, some of it you could do in line with your regular story, and it actually made me go back and replay. And, you know, just to experience that content, like, in line with what I was doing. So that's the last time I think I was really impressed by a whole package of DLC for a game. Mm-hmm. And that was BioWare. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, you have the game. It's installed. And then, sorry, Val, I'm going to answer your question. This wasn't meant to be Ryan's weekly try to get Justin to play Dragon Age again. But the cool thing about this DLC is that BioWare's doing what we've always wanted them to do. Take the characters, take the story, advance it 2 years. Where is everybody right now in the story? They sort of experimented with it in Citadel, but that was still pre-ending. Like, we still don't know what's happened after Mass Effect 3's ending. And, you know, we might get a bit with Mass Effect 4, but even then they're saying, like, it's so far in the future, it doesn't even matter. But this is 2 years after. You're revisiting characters that you spent a lot of time with. Some of them are still in the Inquisition. Others, due to story elements, have moved on in many different ways. And that's the other thing, is if you watch this Trespasser trailer, there could be spoilers for your main campaign. So that's why I didn't link to it, Jocelyn. I don't watch it. nothing crazy that you'll be like, ah, oh, I wish I hadn't seen that. But there are some story beats that are addressed in this 2 years later trailer. The best line is basically your Inquisitor's just throwing a knife down into the table and saying, why can't anything just stay fixed? You know, she's like listing, like, I closed the rift twice. I killed this really bad dude. And now there's still stuff going wrong. And it's just really well-written BioWare trailer. And I'm excited about it because I get to go back and play with my Inquisition. Not in a way that's, you know, sort of broken because I've finished the campaign and things, certain things have happened that don't really make sense that I'm going back and doing these other things. This is literally picking up your campaign, moving it 2 years in the future, and getting to experience what the Inquisition has done, has been doing, and what they're going to do with this new threat. And it's probably the next best thing to a sequel, right? That we aren't going to get for 5 years. So I'm really excited. And I know Val is as well. I saw some tweets that she was twoting that were very good.
That she was twoting?
I don't know. Is that the past tense of tweet?
I don't even know.
That's not. Just don't Urban Dictionary it and you'll be fine.
Yeah, God, don't Google that, people. Don't Google that. Oh, man. So if you guys would like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. You can find Ryan at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know about what you're looking forward to in Mario Maker or potentially what your decisions were like in Until Dawn, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, guys, tune in next week.